1017 FM, 710 Kiel, Mike and McCarty in studio with Bill McCollum. He's with Wingo Wealth. Bill, good morning. Thanks for jumping in.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
So first of all, introduce yourself just a little bit. Let folks know who you are and what you do and with Wingo Wealth.
Well, you gave me a pretty good introduction already. I joined Wingo Wealth about a year and a half ago. I've been doing financial advisory work, 25 years now. Mm-hmm. And coming together with John has been a great marriage. John has traditionally been a planner, and that has been his focus. My focus has been on investment management. So when you bring those two disciplines together, it is a very powerful complementary combination.
And you're here to talk about bond ratings.
Yes, and we have great news and we have bad news. And we're going to start with the bad news and get it out of the way first. The Shreveport bond rating has been downgraded by both Moody's and S&P. Is that correct?
Well, Shreveport bonds were downgraded by Moody's, and I want to focus on that because that's what really sparked this whole conversation back in November.
Mm-hmm.
So Moody's is a rating agency. They rate municipalities and corporations, and then they provide their ratings to help investors understand credit risk. The downgrade in November was tough. I mean, it was a gut punch.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I pay attention to these things because I'm in the industry. I'm an investor. And I take into account these credit ratings when I'm making decisions on what to buy for my clients.
Right.
Because the credit rating helps me. I don't have the time to do a full credit analysis of a municipality, nor do I have that expertise necessarily. So the ratings is like shorthand. It's a shortcut to help me make those decisions. Not just the rating level itself, which is low, and it's borderline non-investment grade.
Here's what I want to say.
Wow.
The Moody's rating is downgraded for Shreveport from Baa3.
Correct.
And that is, people need to hear this loud and clear. That is one step above a junk bond. Is that accurate?
That is accurate. You know, it's not going to make a lot of sense to most people who don't follow and track these things, but psychologically, you know, when you go into junk bond level, there's just a negative connotation that comes with that.
And it costs the city money, right?
And it costs more. And there are institutional investors who will not invest in bonds that are not investment grade.
Mm-hmm. How did we get to that low rating? What caused that? And how do we fix it?
Gosh, that is a great question. This is not something that happened overnight. And I want to make that perfectly clear. This is not an indictment of the current administration. No, not at all. This is something that's been decades in the making.
Okay.
And this is not something that's unique to Shreveport. This is a nationwide problem. And I'm going to jump on my soapbox here. This is years of neglect, kicking the can down the road in terms of deferred maintenance, not reserving money for the future, and wasteful spending. This has been something that has been ballooning for many, many years, and now we have to pay.
And that, can I make it as simple as I can? Let's say you have a leak in your roof, and you got a little leak coming in your kitchen, and you ignore it, and you ignore it, and you ignore it. All of a sudden, your whole house inside, you need it all redone because it's all wet and soaked up there. And so you need way more money spent on your house than you would have if you would have fixed that little leak in the beginning.
Well, that's exactly right. And it's a great analogy. I want to also point to some of the language in the Moody's analysis, because the rating itself is one thing. And you also have to question the objectivity of the rating. Is the rating an accurate reflection of the actual financial condition of the city? I don't know. You know, it could be some 27-year-old doing an analysis who really doesn't understand our financial wherewithal. I don't know that.
What do they cite in their report as our problems?
Well, there are some bullet points that really stuck out to me. Things such as narrowing financial flexibility, low operating reserves, the 2014 federal consent decree for the sewer system repairs, and that mandates $342 million in expenditures over 12 years. There's also language specific to water and sewage, unclear plans for rate increases to offset growing operational expenses and extensive capital needs.
Mm. We know that's the
boy,
truth.
No kidding.
It doesn't sound good. And then you have to look at this from the perspective of all the parties. Well, there's the investors, which, you know, if I'm an investor and I own the bond and the bond gets downgraded, well, I expect that on my next statement, the price of that bond will be lower.
Okay.
Right? Then there's the perspective of the issuer, the city. These downgrades, while they don't affect existing bonds, they will affect future bonds. We have to borrow. It's most people in America cannot pay cash for a car, much less pay cash for a house. So when the city has large capital expenditures, it has to borrow money.
How much does that cost? Let's say we borrow $10 million. If our bond rating is Baa3, right above junk status, what does that cost as opposed to if we were a AA-rated community?
Well, now you're getting into the weeds a little bit.
I know. Is it millions? Is it hundreds of thousands? I mean, give us kind of a ballpark.
Well, the biggest cost is going to be the principal amount that's being borrowed.
Okay.
So that's going to be a function of how much money the city needs to cover these capital expenditures and fill budgetary gaps. But with the borrowing, there are costs related to that bond issue. People have to get paid for their work. So
before we go deeper into the weeds on this, let me go back to my question about how did we get there? You answered that. So what do we do to fix it? Obviously, this didn't happen overnight, so the fix is not going to be coming tomorrow.
No, the fix doesn't come tomorrow. I think for starters, we as citizens have a responsibility to elect people who have the capacity, the wherewithal, the qualifications to manage these big issues. We're in an election year. We want people in these seats, the mayor, city council, etc., who are qualified to handle these big issues.
Who know it might not be a good idea to give an across-the-board 13% pay increase.
I'll let you tackle that.
As you know, in six, elections are nothing more than popularity contests. That's all it is.
That's been the case, Mike. But I think going forward, though, it's not going to be the case.
Well, I hope that you're right.
Because we have to address these problems. As I said, we can no longer kick the can down the road. The infrastructure is crumbling under our feet, literally. So how do we address these problems? And it starts with putting people in office who can handle this responsibility. The other thing that we as citizens have to expect is that services will be cut. That's just a reality. We cannot expect to get the same level of services because we don't have the budget.
And rates will go up. Expect your water and sewer rates to go up. They cannot do it with the money they're getting now.
Now, I'll throw a third point in here, and this is me on a soapbox. I would like to see how the city can utilize the private sector, right? We know that the city is budget constrained. We know that we have shortages of staff. What can the private sector do to help? This is our city. We live here. Give us an opportunity to step in and do things.
Right.
It could be something as simple as picking up trash. What can we do as citizens?
Yeah. That was the bad news. We got good news when we come back for a couple of entities.
Bill McCollum with Wingo Wealth in the studio. Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 Keel.
Let's get back to the show with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Bill McCollum, financial advisor with Wingo Wealth, in studio with Mike and McCarty. Now that you've thoroughly depressed me with all the bad news.
I'm not done.
Good news.
But we do have some good news. But are you saying you still have more bad news you want to share?
No, I'm just joking.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, then let's talk about some good news.
Well, let's start with the Caddo Parish Commission. They have been a AAA bond rated entity for a long, long time. They were recently downgraded to AA+. But I'm told that that had nothing to do with their financial condition. It had to do with the demographics of the city, that cities below a certain population can no longer be rated AAA. So Caddo Parish is one of the best rated governmental entities in the state, we're told, if not the best.
I concur. Caddo Parish is managed very strongly. And I'm just going to read some of the language from an S&P ratings report. Now, S&P is another bond rating agency. Strong stewardship, continued commitment to responsible public service, strong reserves, conservative budgeting practices, and minimal debt load.
Yep.
Now, that sounds like someone who's running their house very well.
Absolutely. And you've got even good news. We got more good news this week for the Caddo School Board. Tell us what how they're doing.
Yeah, so Caddo Schools got a ratings upgrade. Isn't that nice? From A+ to AA- by S&P. And I noted disciplined governance, strong reserves, substantial oversight by the school board.
Wow.
Wow.
That's great news.
That is great news. And that saves us money. When we boil it down and we have to go out for a revenue bond or any kind of bond, like the $10 million pickable. In fact, Grant Schluter, the bond attorney, said you're not going to have to borrow $10 million now because your bond rating is so good, you're going to only have to borrow 9 points. So, I mean, we're already saving $400,000, right?
It does. And I want to – that is good news. And I want to circle back to the city.
Okay. Well, you're saving, actually, you're saving more than $400,000.
Oh, yeah, that's off the jump, yeah.
That's just, you're not having to borrow as much, but then you're not paying as much back in interest, et cetera.
Yes.
Now, to circle back to the city, I believe, and I don't want to be political, I believe that the current administration is doing admirable work of addressing these problems, okay? This administration didn't cause these problems. They are taking it very seriously. There was a refinancing of debt that was done recently. That was done to save us money over time. I think the number was $8 million. That's a good step in the right direction. The federal consent decree is something that the administration is negotiating with the federal government, which has to be done. And I believe that, that Mayor Arsenault is being very judicious with the budget. I can't speak to the other rated entities. I don't know. But I do applaud the city for what they're doing now.
Typically, how long, and we're talking with Bill McCollum with Wingo Wealth, typically how long does it take a community to get out from under a bad rating? I mean, is it a four-year deal? Is it a 20-year deal?
No, this is going to take a long time.
Is it?
Oh, yes. Because in the meantime, we still have large capital expenditures. I mean, just drive around town.
Yeah.
It's all around us.
And fewer people paying into the tax base as we see our population numbers continue to dwindle.
Well, that's true. And I brought a, it's called the official statement. This is for the most recent bond issue that the city did, the refunding, revenue refunding bonds for water and sewage. And this has all of the information you would possibly want if, when trying to understand the financial condition of the city. This is public information. But I would say this. Who reads this?
I will. You'll leave it. You leave that with me, and I promise to read it.
I mean, I read this stuff, but I've been accused of being very analytical.
Wonky, yeah.
And wonky. But that's what I do for a living.
Analytical.
But as that. As I go through this, I mean, there's a lot of information here about the financial condition, and there are things that we need to pay attention to. For example, I think this is fascinating. The city of Shreveport occupies 108 square miles.
Jeez. We just talked about that. Mm-hmm. It's unbelievable.
It's sprawl.
Yeah.
The sprawl, that works out to about 1,400 people per square mile. By comparison, New York City is 28,000 people per square mile. D.C. is 11,000 people per square mile. That's a lot of real estate mm-hmm. that we have to maintain
right.
with very few right. people. And our population is declining. That is a fact. Mm. Water and sewage, I know we're kind of coming up on time here, but yeah. I want to mention this too. Water and sewage, and this comes from the bond disclosure. 1,100 miles of piping.
Golly.
1,000 miles of collection sewers. All of this has to be maintained.
Yes. And the problem is we've let it get a leak, and now the pipes are blowing up all over town.
That's correct.
And it's becoming a bigger problem. Oh, Bill, we could go an hour on this.
Yeah,
will
we
you
could.
Come back one day?
Absolutely.
Okay. Thank you for coming. Can you leave all this good
yes,
stuff? I love reading stuff. I'm the wonkiest of the wonkers.
I'll challenge you on that.
Okay, I got you.
It's not James Patterson, but she'll yeah. take it up, right?
Tell Wingo I want a hat. I want him to be one of my hat covers, please.
Absolutely.
All right, cool.
Bill, thank you. Have a great weekend. It's Mike and McCarty, 1017 FM, 710keel.com.
Now more breaking news and trending talk with Mike and McCarty on 1017 FM and 710 Keel.
County Parish Commission voted overwhelmingly in support of the new park. County Parish Commissioner John Paul Young explains that right after the break. 1017 FM, 710 Keel, Mike and McCarty.
Stories of the day with Mike and McCarty on 1017 FM and 710 Keel.
Seven FM, 710 Keel, Micah McCarty. On the Jack Spring Electric Newsmaker Hotline, Caddo Parish Commissioner John Paul Young joining us. John Paul, good morning, sir.
Good morning, Mike. Good morning, Aaron.
Morning.
Thank you for joining us. Yesterday, the commission voted on the sale of revenue bonds to fund the new park, and the vote went very well for park supporters. Mm-hmm. Tell us about that.
That's right. Well, so we've had several votes to authorize the going out for the bonds, and then this was the final vote to issue the bonds. We got a fantastic interest rate because the parish is in such good financial condition, and the interest rate is actually 3.97%.
Wow.
Which is the best that you can get anywhere in the state.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Now, I'm told that the money could be in-house within 30 days. That means we could start hiring the architect, the planners, the designers, and we could actually start construction this year.
Yes, they're planning to start construction this year. The architect has been hired. They've been selected. They're just okay. not getting paid yet.
All right.
And the commissioners and also members of the public are invited to share their ideas for the design. I have several that I hope will help reduce costs without making it a less pleasant park to go to.
Like?
Well, so as you know, the pickleball complex is going to be sited sort of directly behind the large Kroger on Ellerby Road.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of my cost-saving ideas is to make an agreement with that Kroger to share their parking lot. They have about 80 spots right next to the site that I've never seen a car parked in.
Okay.
So I think, you know, we could save a lot of money if we come to that kind of agreement on the parking lot.
Now, that's a good idea.
The original or the proposal was for 19 courts because that was the minimum that these large tournaments would require. Are we staying with that design?
Yes, I'm pretty sure that we're committed to a tournament size facility because that's a part of the calculation for the revenue that will help pay back the bonds.
Excellent.
It's a strong sentiment among our community that it would be good to have some courts that are indoor and climate-controlled area so they could be used on days when the weather's not perfect, like today. But as you know, we often have imperfect weather here. So I'm going to push for our architects to look into that option really carefully and see if we can get some climate-controlled courts so that, you know, some of them can always be in use, even, you know, even in a hailstorm.
And that's interesting because you are planning a big pavilion as part of this. That could possibly be changed a little bit to include some indoor courts in the design phase, right?
I agree. I think, you know, the design is sort of wide open right now. It's we've only had, you know, a preliminary idea, and the full-fledged design can't be made until, you know, we can pay for it. And we'll be able to pay for it as soon as these bonds are finally issued, which I heard yesterday could be as soon as Wednesday of next week.
Wow. Let's do a little Shakespeare today. Ye of the Caddo Commission, what do ye say to those who don't play pickle, who think that this is a waste of tax dollars? Start there. It's not tax dollars, right?
So first of all, these are not property tax dollars. These are borrowed dollars through our ability to borrow money as a taxing authority. We also have fantastic reserves. We have almost $50 million in our reserve trust fund, which we carefully squirrel away from our oil and gas revenues every year. And that's why the parish can borrow at such a great interest rate without charging the taxpayers a penny more to build something like a new park. And the new park, if you don't like pickleball, you can still go there and walk around. It's going to have a walking track. I believe there's going to be soccer fields associated with it through the YMCA. And also, if people do come and play tournaments at this park, which everybody expects, they're going to be going to our restaurants. They're going to be staying in our hotels. Sports tourism is a great option for improving the tourist capacity of Shreveport because, as you know, we don't have mountains and beaches, but we do have pretty good weather and we have some great parks. And this is going to be maybe our greatest park.
Let me ask you one more question. We got a few more probably, but there's some concern, too, that the YMCA is going to manage the complex. If I want to play pickleball, I have to go into the Y to pay for my court, correct?
No, I think there's going to be a building on site at the pickleball complex where you can go in and pay to play.
Okay, so I don't have to be a member of the Y. I don't even have to go into the Y to reserve or to pay for my court.
Right.
Okay, cool. So these will be open to the public. You can pay the regular, whatever the fee is going to be. And how's that going to be determined?
I don't know exactly how the fee is going to be determined. I remember a number around $12. And I think that's calculated based on what they expect usage to be and how much money we need to bring in to pay back the bond, which is the borrowed money for construction. I would love to look in detail at ways to discount that for, you know, different types of player, like kids or school trips, that kind of thing, so that more people can learn the game and play and then eventually grow up and be regular rate payers and maybe champion pickleball players.
Caddo Commissioner John Paul Young, when do you think, as I chat with you today, when will be the first day that you get up, meet up over there, and I can whack your booty in pickleball?
Well, I've never played pickleball, so you've got a good chance. I think it's going to be in 2027. But, you know, construction is always slower than you expect if it's a kitchen renovation or a big complex. So, you know, you can't hold me to that. But our plan is to have it done in 2027. And so I would say this time in 2028, like, We can play pickleball.
Okay. You get it back over the net, you're going to beat me. Just saying.
Yeah. Okay.
Have you heard from, like, tournament directors or any of these organizations and, on feedback and maybe, you know, kudos and excitement about this?
We got a lot of communication from Pickleball USA and I think maybe the American Pickleball Association when we were in the political negotiations about whether or not to vote in favor of this. Mm-hmm. And they all, you know, unsurprisingly love the idea of having more pickleball courts around. Since then, though, all the national statistics have backed them up. It's becoming more popular every day and more people are playing it. And every, you know, pretty much every time I go on a trip to some other place, you know, if you go to a microbrewery or a sandwich shop, there's a pickleball court next door, and it's full of people playing.
Well, yeah. And colleges now have teams, some club teams and some college teams. So it's certainly, even though it's been around since the 60s, it's still a growing sport.
Yeah, I would say it's an exploding sport.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Absolutely. And that whole area will probably develop around it.
It looks like a lot of fun.
Yeah, that whole area not that area hadn't developed, but this will bring in more growth in that area.
Yes, it will. And, you know, they're probably not going to squeeze a lot more hotels in that area, but this is good for any hotel that can serve people who attend the tournaments mm-hmm. is going to thrive based on those people coming into town.
Caddo Parish Commissioner John Paul Young, 101.7 FM, 710 Keel, Mike and McCarty.
Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
I'm so excited the Golden Globes were on.
That is so funny that you mentioned that. Ruben and I had this conversation earlier this morning.
Oh, I got in here then.
On a scale of 1 to 10, how much do you care about the Golden Globes? Because I'm at a 0.
It's a 2 for me, and that's just because I think Stranger Things is involved.
Yeah, they do TV awards, too.
Did they win? Is it still going on?
I don't know what's going on. I didn't even look. These award shows to me now are just political mumbo jumbo. Yes. They get up there and do stupid stuff, and I don't even care to watch. I don't even care to report about it, to be honest. It's just, if you want to know who won the Golden Globes, guess what? You can go Google it.
Well, yeah, right. You can look it up immediately.
You can find out what you need to know. You know, the pretty dresses are nice. That's cool.
Couldn't care less.
You couldn't care less about the dress? I'd say I like some of the dresses, but just...
Are they see-through?
I don't know.
I mean, historically, I mean, at least one of them were. Yeah.
Exactly, right.
Wouldn't
know.
Lots of skin. I'm sure there's lots of skin to be seen.
Wouldn't know.
But, yeah. So you watched it?
Didn't even remember it was on.
Oh.
We saw it was funny because I forget what we were watching, and it had to have been a football game. And a promo comes on. Hi, I'm what was her name? Nikki Glaser.
Oh, the
is that
host.
It?
Yeah.
Is that it?
The
Nikki?
Comedian. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what she is?
She's
because
a comedian,
my wife
yeah.
goes, I don't even know who this is. I said, no, I don't either.
I know. Because we're old.
Bring Ricky Gervais back, then I'll watch. I'll watch just to see what he does.
It's sad because, you know, like the Oscars and those shows, the Grammys, you used to watch because there would be, you'd see some really great entertainment.
Right.
You'd see some funny things happen. Now it's all just mumbo jumbo.
Well, like Ricky said, come up here, get your little award.
Right.
Shut your mouth and go sit down.
Go sit down. Go
do
your movies.
Nobody cares.
Yeah. I know. Say thank you to your mama and God and go sit down.
Yes.
And then you're good. You know?
I'm going to listen to Sean Penn about something political.
Right.
No.
Exactly.
None of them.
Sit down, Spicoli.
Yeah. I don't need to hear from you how you feel about the world and global warming or whatever.
We watched the new season opener of all creatures great and small.
Oh, did you? Okay.
We watched, and I'm sitting there, and of course it's public television.
Oh, look at you.
And I would support the funding of that show.
Yep.
But I'm not supporting anyway. I digress because mm-hmm. They say brought to you by so and so, and then they run a commercial for so and so.
Right.
Also funded by the cruises.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a commercial. I said, oh, but this is commercial-free television.
Yeah, it is. It's supposed to be.
But anyway, we do enjoy that show. And Lawrence Welk.
Lawrence Welk. Oh, man. How old is he, Ruben? How old is the old guy?
Didn't watch any of the Golden Globes, though. Couldn't tell you.
I didn't either.
Couldn't tell you the first thing.
I watched a cool little show called All's Fair about female lawyers. Glenn Close, good cast.
Okay.
Really diabolical. really diabolical.
Does she boil a rabbit in a...
No, she does not. She does not. No.
Just wondering. 101.7 FM, 710 Keel, Mike and McCarty. FM, 710 Keel, Mike and McCarty. I like your hat. You've got a beanie on today.
I do.
I can't. Hold on. Oh, AirPro.
Yes.
Okay, I can see that now.
I got to thank my buddies at AirPro. They're our first hats off sponsor, helping keep my noggin warm. And these folks, let me just say, I owe them an apology.
Oh, okay.
Because they've been up in my grungy attic. They've been attacked by my dog. They've seen the mess.
Bo.
They've seen the mess in the house occasionally, but they've always taken care of me. They've taken good care of you. If you're looking for a heating, air conditioning company, AirPro's the folks. And, you know, they were the first one when I stepped up and said, look, I need hat covers for the week.
And see, to me, the beanie makes sense.
The beanie's perfect.
You want to keep your head warm. That's what you need right there.
Absolutely. If you want to be one of the businesses that is covering this noggin, this bald-headed noggin, for the next few weeks while I'm trying to grow my hair back out, send me a message. We can help get you part of the promo. You're going to get lots of commercials. We'll get lots of mentions. We'll talk about your business. But...
well,
thanks
the kids
for our first.
At Operation Santa Claus are grateful that you shaved your head.
They are. And you know what? The businesses that are stepping up to help do this, they're like, we feel a part of that too. We feel like grateful that you did it, that you helped so many local kids. So we want to kind of be a part of it too. So we'll help keep your head, your noggin a little bit warm today. Thank God, because it was chilly this morning. It was nice to have this AirPro knit hat.
Yeah, so. Chilly.
Very nice. Thank you, guys. Sorry about Bo attacking you too, by the way.
It's very nice outside right now, by the way, if you are just getting up. It's a little cool, but beautiful morning. I'm wondering, I did laugh. You know, my daughter works, it's still surreal to me, works for SpaceX. And she sent me some pictures a few months ago. They were, over the summer, they were doing a crawfish boil.
At SpaceX. Wow.
And they had these long tables, and Aaron, they had these almost like fluted cups with crawfish in them. And I was just like...
oh, my goodness, that's
funny. And they're all standing around these tables.
Yeah, they don't know what to do.
Oh, and Mike was like, are you serious? step back, hold my beer.
Yeah, exactly. I got this. That's funny.
We're getting into... into crawfish.
I was craving them this weekend for some odd reason.
Really?
So I started I didn't get them because the prices are too high for me. I'm a cheapskate.
Oh, well, yeah. And they're small right now.
Yeah. There's a couple of places for $11.95 a pound. Most are at $12.99 a pound. I mean, that's a ribeye. That's a ribeye price.
Yeah.
And guess what? You don't have to peel a ribeye.
For somebody that starts with 10 pounds.
Right.
That's
$150.
Try to clear that with my wife. Yeah. I'm going to go spend $150
on crawfish.
That's just one person. My daughter starts with 10 pounds herself.
Wow. Wow.
$300 for lunch.
I did find one or two spots that were $10.99, but you have to check to see if they have them. But there are people that want them so bad, they will go and pay the price. They'll get their 5 pounds or whatever it is. And they'll go pay the price and get their crawfish. So they're out there. I check about 20 places every other week or so, and there are only about 5 that have them right now. You can see
it's
it
still
at Keel
very,
News.
Very early.
Yeah, you can see the prices at keelnews.com. Some of the biggies don't have them. Shavers doesn't have them posted yet. I don't think Shane's has them. Farmers, I don't think, has them yet from what they were posting online. But they'll be getting them in the next few weeks. We get closer to February. They will start flowing in. But somebody I saw that had them already, somebody that went and got some and paid, I think, $11.99 a pound, but then you had to buy a 5-pound platter, said they were chalky. They weren't which
really?
Means to me they were not cooked well.
Right.
Or maybe they were really too small. You know, I'm not sure.
If they're kind of gritty or no.
You did something wrong in there, and I want them. If I'm paying that kind of money, they best be good, and the spice best be on point,
right?
Because I hate those people that just dump the stuff on them afterwards. That's just not right. That's just stop they doing just that.
They just cover them in Tony's before they serve them to
stop
you.
Stop that.
Yeah.
Get it all mixed up in the boil and get it all done right. And there are some places that do them right and there are some that do them wrong. You just have to know which one you like.
I was trying to check the crawfish app, but it's not loading up for some reason.
It's acting crazy?
Yeah.
Well, ours is actually better than theirs because I actually checked all the sites where they advertise the crawfish and make sure that I have the most up-to-date price.
So
I've checked, and there are a few that have them. There are some that are still waiting to get them in. And they're waiting because they want them to be a decent size. And I get that. That's
sure.
cool. I understand.
And it is. It's very early still. Mm-hmm.
It is very early, and they're still yummy, though. I may splurge. I may splurge this weekend. I and might decide. Go ahead.
Wow.
Go ahead. Let's do it. Let's get some.
Yeah.
I don't know. We'll see. They just look so good.
Yeah, you can take your Bentley and go get your, you know. Reuben and I will
I could buy y'all some, too, if I want. I'll bring you about three of them in.
Yeah.
Are they like potato
chips? Three crawfish.
Yeah. Are they like potato chips for you? If you eat one, you'll be like mad that you have one crawfish to eat?
Well, what's the point?
I know. Yeah. Oh, no.
that's like a restaurant in New York that lays three of them out on the plate with a little three slight slivers of asparagus,
a little gold dust on top. Yeah. No, thank you.
And then charge you $49.95,
right? Exactly.
Or $89 for the plate.
I'm out. No, I'm not interested in that.
Drizzle a little sauce.
They
on
are
them.
Good though. We do know how to eat. We do know
that's
how
it.
To eat.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about it. But $12.99 for me is still.
You can find out more, though, and check in where they are available on keelnews.com. Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 Keel.
Back to the show with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
And we are back. Reuben, I saw something that I liked a lot.
What's that?
President Trump is doing, and I wish we could make it permanent. he has decided that he's going to put in place a one-year 10% cap on credit card interest rates. It's an idea that it revives a campaign pledge he made and could save us tens of billions of dollars.
Oh, I'm sure.
There are so many people in debt,
in
credit card debt, that we are absolutely, Americans are underwater trying to pay it back.
Right.
With some of these credit cards charging as much as 21% a year, and you can never get caught up.
The interest is unreal.
It really is.
The interest is unfreaking real.
And to see the president cap credit card interest rate at 10%, wants to try to do it for just 1 year. Why not make that permanent?
It seems fair.
It would. It would. The banks would make their money. They would still make 10% on their money that they loan you. And Americans could get caught up on their debt because so many people are underwater. They're just struggling to pay the bare minimum of the debt. And then with the interest at 20 or 21% for some, it just keeps compounding, and you can never get to the principal at all.
Ugh. Ugh.
And thousands of people are facing tons of debt. Why not a 10% flat credit card rate? That's what it is. Period. End of story.
It helps if I turn on my mic. I say the same thing about taxes. If you're making $100,000 a year, you're going to pay more taxes than somebody making $30,000 a year.
Mm-hmm.
And it's fair.
Right. Some sort of flat rate.
I just made somebody very happy.
Yeah, you did make somebody very happy. It seems logical. It just really does seem logical. I know the banks will probably scream, but we're taking all the risk and blah, blah, blah. Yeah, but you're making 10% on your money.
But then are you, that's that fine line between free enterprise.
Yes, that's the problem.
And you don't have to sign up for that 30% credit card.
Right, right. But is it almost sharkery? You know what I mean?
Well, sure.
Loan sharkery.
Of course it is.
When you're getting, and the problem is you have poorer and poorer people going into more and more debt because, oh, they'll wave credit cards at him and go, oh, come get this credit card or come get this loan, you know, or whatever. I just think he needs to extend it from credit card companies to these loan shark lenders, too.
Like, you know, these
quick loan
payday
places.
Loan places.
10% interest, that's right. Your max. That's what you can charge, right. Period. Now, if it puts some of them out of business, oh, well, you know, but why not help Americans try to get out of debt? Because guess what? When we get out of debt, we can spend our money on houses and cars and other stuff that helps the economy. It seems like a no-brainer to me. And he said he made a campaign promise to do it, so he wants to do it. I just think more than a year. Try it for more than a year. But we could see in a year how many people do pay down their debt.
Right.
How many people do try to get out of debt and then try to use that money in a more in a wiser way in the economy. I just saw that in the news today, and I thought, I think that's a pretty good idea. Pretty wise idea.
Yeah. And it's, again, like going back to taxes. If you lower taxes, people have more money. You're going to boost the economy.
Right.
There's going to be more money in the economy.
And when I spend more money in the economy, I'm paying more sales taxes.
Exactly.
And, you know, government gets more money.
Right.
They can do more things. I know the federal government doesn't get a sales tax, but local governments do, and that would mean less federal money you'd have to spend on local governments. I just think a whole revamping of all of it is probably not a bad idea. I just don't know who's going to lead the charge. Who would have to lead the charge? It would have to come from the top to make that happen. And, you know, people will accuse him of, oh, he's only going to give breaks to, you know, rich folks, et cetera. Sort of flat rate where you pay 15%, I pay 15%, and Donald Trump pays 15%. No loopholes. You know, no loopholes.
Those are people that don't understand how the system works.
Yeah.
It takes the big corporations. They can afford it. Yeah, you know how they can afford it? They pass those on to you.
Yep, they sure do.
You're going to pay more for those goods and services.
Abso-freaking-lutely.
It's not going to come out of the corporate's funds.
No, he's not selling his yacht to pay that, I promise you.
Right.
He's keeping his yacht.
What do you not understand?
People don't get that, and it ultimately gets passed all the way down to the little guys who's paying the rent,
exactly.
Et cetera. It's frustrating.
Let's tax McDonald's. Okay, now your $4 Big Mac is now $8.
Yeah, that's exactly what's going to happen. And, God, when's a Big Mac been $4?
I don't know how much they are.
I don't even know.
I'm just saying.
I don't think you can get anything at fast food restaurants for $5 anymore. I don't think.
Taco Bell is the last man standing.
Yeah, there you go.
Are they? They have a dollar menu still?
Oh, yeah. Or they call it a value menu now.
Okay.
But there's still stuff on that menu that's only like, you know, $1.10.
I missed a $5 footlong, I can tell you that.
Yeah. Absolutely. I just think trying it for a year, let's watch it. Let's see how many people pay down their debt, and let's see if it helps.
So I missed the very, very beginning, the opening of this.
The president has announced he's planning to put
A cap
on credit card interest rates of 10% for a year.
Wow.
Said he made a campaign promise and he wants to try it. He thinks it'd be good for Americans and they could help get out of some of the debt they have. And, you know, whether he can do it with executive order or not, that's under debate right now. But he wants to move forward with it. So we shall see.
Now, hopefully people won't go, oh, look, let me charge more.
Right, because it's only 10%.
Right,
yeah.
No, you're missing the point.
Hopefully, you know, and Louis Avalone sent me a text. Trump is stimulating the economy by dropping the interest rate because people will simply charge more and buy more, not get out of debt. That's the problem.
What did I just say?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I hope not.
See,
I hope people pay out their debt.
Louis, simpatico there. Yeah.
Smart man. Smart man. I hope people pay down Louis. Their debt. Yeah.
Mardi Gras on the Arklatex. We've got some members of crew of Sobek going to join us after the news bottom of the hour. Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 Keel, and be sure to download that free Keel app.
Now, breaking news and trending talk with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
The first Mardi Gras parade of the year is this Saturday. The big ball, the crew of Sobek ball, is Friday. We will talk with Dr. Stephanie McConnell, the keeper of water. That is coming up next, right here on Keel.
Beck McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Les Elementons Roulés. And for those uninitiated, that means let the good times roll.
You bet.
Mardi Gras gets underway this weekend. Very first parade, Crew of Sobek Parade, is coming up Saturday. And in studio with us, Dr. Stephanie McConnell with the Crew of Sobek. You are the keeper of water.
Yes, and thanks for having me here this morning. I'm really excited about doing this segment.
Thanks for coming out. The ball is Friday night.
The ball is Friday night at the Convention Center. Doors will open at 6 p.m., and we are really excited about the ball. The theme this year is an evening of magic, enchantment, and second lines.
Now, the crew of Sobek, explain just a little bit about what that means and why you're keeper of water.
The crew of Sobek was founded based on an Egyptian god, which was a cross between a human and an alligator. The symbol of it is, I mean, not an alligator, but a crocodile. The symbol represents strength and protection. I was elected keeper of water. The crew is based on the elements. We have the king, the queen. We have earth, wind, fire, and water. I think my personality kind of reflects water.
How long have you been involved with the crew?
I've been involved with the crew for 4 years. My aunt, Maddie Moss, was the first queen. And my cousin, Fred Moss, was a founder. So when I moved back here from being in the military, from retiring from the military, I had to join to be a part of the family tradition.
Tell us about the Sobek tradition. How far back does it go? I mean, Sobek's been around a while.
Sobek's been around for 23 years.
Wow.
Okay. The tradition really is party with a purpose. You know, fellow Sobekians, we party pretty hard, but at the same time, we enjoy giving back to the community.
Now, let's talk about the giving back, because I see your crew members at lots of charitable events, visiting lots of hospitals and nursing homes, etc. Y'all are busy all year. This isn't just a one weekend thing for you guys.
No, ma'am. We are busy all year. We do Paint Your Heart Out. We do the hospitals, we do nursing homes, we do school visits. We also do stuff at the pantry, at the food banks. We buy pack boxes and help there. We help any way that we can. And another way that we're going to be helping this year is we're actually going to be doing MLK Dream Fest this year as well.
Oh, nice. And that is all taking place on Monday on MLK Day.
Yes, ma'am, it is.
Where people are doing things of service for that day.
That's correct.
That's incredible.
We are so happy to be a part of it.
Now, we said the ball is Friday night. Mm-hmm. Are tickets still available? Could be. You don't have to be a member of the crew to attend the ball.
No, you don't have to be a member of the crew to attend the ball. It is open to the public. There are still some tickets available. If you go to our website, we have a list of members that may have individual tickets for sale. But the ball itself overall has been sold out probably since November.
Wow. That means it is a popular party. Describe the ball. I know there's some things about the ball you can't tell us because it's a secret, but there's lots of cool things that happen Friday night.
There are a lot of cool things that happen. We give away throws. The royalty throws their specialty bees. It will truly be an evening of magic, enchantment, and definitely the second lines.
Yes.
There is a tableau. We do our presentation of our royal court. It's just a big party with all the fun and excitement that goes along with Mardi Gras.
Let's focus on the parade on Saturday. Starting at the fairgrounds. That's where you're staging, correct?
That is correct. It will start at the fairgrounds, and it will come out on Greenwood Road. It will go down the road right next to Fair Park High School, and it will loop around Blackhorn to Lakeshore Drive and come back to the fairgrounds. It will kick off at exactly 1 p.m., and we are super excited. I love going through the Queensboro neighborhood. That's another opportunity for us to give back. Lots of throws, lots of excitement, lots of smiling kids' faces. I'm always elated when I go through there.
How many floats do y'all have?
We have a total of four. We have Big Blue. I know we have the royalty float. We do have the smaller float that we use for other parades when we're going out of town. And then there's one other one.
You have some marching bands and lots of other.
There's going to be marching bands. There's going to be other crews that are going to participate.
That's my favorite.
Yes.
The bands and the marching units. I love to see those.
I know.
The kids doing that.
I love to see the dance lines. They come through.
Yes.
Especially the little girls and the cheerleading squads. They are super cute. So I love to see it. So we're so excited about that.
And the public's invited. Line up along the route anytime that morning and get ready for the parade to roll at 1 o'clock.
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, man. How many members of the crew of Sobek now, or how high are y'all up to now?
I know the last time I heard a number, I think we were at 100, at least at 150, but I don't want to be quoted for sure, but I think it's around 150.
That's incredible. And these are folks that really do pour their heart into our community all year.
Yes, ma'am, we do.
Golly. I just love Mardi Gras time.
I do too. If somebody's interested in joining, how would they contact through the website? Probably be the first step.
That's correct. I mean, we have all the information for joining Sobek on our website. So if you go there, you will be able to see that. Also, you can probably find some information from our Facebook page.
Now, you said y'all participate in some of the other parades, too. I would guess the crew of Highland, you roll in that one?
We are doing the crew of Highland. I think we're definitely doing the MLK, and I think we're... I'm not sure about the other ones yet, but I don't want to say. I'll leave that to the guy that's in charge of parades, Michael.
Yeah, now y'all go out when they do the all the crews get together for different events, especially Mardi Gras night when they gather at the end of the evening. Y'all's folks are all there as well to toast the end of the Lenten season, et cetera.
Absolutely. We start with Mass. Mm-hmm. We start with Mass, and we did it at Holy Trinity this year, and we will end, just as you said, and we'll bring in Lent.
Oh, man. It's exciting. I can't believe Mardi Gras here already.
I know it. First parade this weekend.
Yes. Does it feel like you just paraded like 3 weeks ago?
It feels like it's an extension of last year. Like it just never ended.
Like
I finished the ball last year and it just went right back into planning for this year.
People that have never been a part of a Mardi Gras crew, what would you say to them today about thinking about it, maybe getting involved? If maybe you don't want to be involved in one of the big ones, maybe one of the smaller ones?
I would highly encourage it, and I would encourage it for several reasons. One, the camaraderie, the fellowship that you get with other people like-minded, because it's partying with a purpose. The second reason is giving back to the community is heartwarming, it's heartfelt, and to do it with people that are right there with you in that with you is amazing. So mm-hmm. I would highly suggest, even if it's not the crew of Sobe, which I highly suggest the crew of Sobe.
Sure.
But even if it's not the crew of Sobe, get involved in the community, give back. There's nothing more heartwarming than that.
Absolutely. Parade rolls. This is from a
lady who has donated to Locks of Love.
Yes. She's been bald like me.
Yeah.
We've been baldies.
I've been bald a couple times.
Yeah.
When I was in California, my hair grew a little bit faster than it does here. Humidity.
Yeah.
And once every two years, I would donate to Locks of Love.
Oh, that is sweet. That's so you know what it's like to be bald in the wintertime.
Oh, yeah. That's why I said California, where it's warm and never gets below 72 degrees, you can take the ball head.
You got a point. The parade rolls 1 o'clock Saturday from the fairgrounds through the Queensboro neighborhood. Good luck on the day. I hope you'll have a great ride.
Oh, I'm sure it's going to be an amazing day. Everybody, please come out. We have lots of throws, and we want to give a lot of stuff away. So please come out and enjoy yourself.
Dr. Stephanie McConnell with the crew of Sobek, thanks for coming out.
Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710keel.com.
Let's get back to the show with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Wow.
senior moments of down.
I start talking. I haven't turned on the mic. I don't know how I feel about this. And let me ask you, and maybe I'll get a different perspective. Mattel just released a new Barbie version. Mm-hmm. Okay? It's autistic Barbie.
Okay.
Now, this sounds like I'm making a joke, and I'm not. And I'm right. not. And I'm not making fun of anybody.
No, absolutely not.
On one hand, I go, okay, representing children with autism.
Mm-hmm. Everything we can do to help autistic children, we should
sure.
do.
Sure. And I'm hoping, I don't know, I haven't read far enough to know if part of the sales will go to help.
Yes, they have. They okay. have teamed up with a nonprofit.
Well,
absolutely.
Okay. But on the other hand, I want to go, are you just capitalizing on something and trying to hit a market? Or are they, or is this a good idea?
Honestly, it's going to generate money. I think maybe it's a good idea.
Money for autism research yes. and support.
Right. And that's the goal. They have teamed up with a nonprofit group to raise money for autism research. And that's a good thing. But your point is there's not a look for
there's
an autistic.
Nothing,
yes.
How do you designate a doll to be autistic?
Right. Right.
Or to signify autism.
I think it's all in the packaging and how they're going to market it in terms of making money for autism research. I think that's all it is. I don't think the doll's going to look much different than a regular Barbie doll would look. I don't know. I haven't seen it.
I just looked at a picture of it. It's, you know, a brunette Barbie, and I'm assuming they'll have a variety like they
sure.
do the regular Barbies.
Sure.
And she has headphones and an iPad. And loose-fitting clothes.
It's like a regular gal.
She's got flexible joints, so it can engage in repetitive body movements. It comes with noise-canceling headphones and a tablet with alternative communication apps.
Okay.
And it was created with over 28 months in partnership with the Autistic Self-Advocacy Network.
See, I like all that. I'm fine with that.
And I do like that.
I'm fine with that.
But, again, I'm just like... Is that a market?
And if I'm remembering right, this isn't the first time Barbie has done something, because they've had like a wheelchair Barbie before.
Sure, you bet.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think they had like a pregnant Barbie a while back.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, this is nothing new.
Is there a market? Oh, you bet.
Okay.
Do you know how many autistic children there are? Those numbers
keep
climbing.
Well, of course, and that's what I'm saying. I'm not trying to make any light of anybody that's dealing with an autistic child or an autistic situation.
But does an autistic child know that their doll is autistic?
That's what I'm saying.
That's a valid question. I mean, you see the packaging. But just to help in the research, I think is a good cause.
Okay, and I'll go with that.
All right.
We'll give them the benefit of the doubt.
Okay.
Royal Alexander going to join us after the news top of the hour. Supreme Court ruling apparently won't come in time for our congressional district lines. We'll find out the latest. 101.7 FM, 710Kiel.com. FM 710 Kiel, Mike and McCarty on the Jack Spring Electric Newsmaker Hotline. Local attorney Royal Alexander joining us. Royal, good morning.
Good morning, Mike.
Thank you for getting up and talking with us this morning. This congressional district lines, this is the nightmare we can't seem to wake up from. It just goes on and on. The Supreme Court ruling, what are we expecting when?
Well, the Supreme Court has decided not to decide the case in time to change the 2026 line. In other words, they will hand down the ruling in the Calais case, Calais v. Louisiana, sometime in their late spring typical late spring calendar. So I think the state legislature were hoping for a decision prior to the end of 2025, so that that would be time to redraw the lines. But it looks like there will not be time to do that. So we will run this year under the lines as they are now, which means, again, I think you can make a real argument that these lines have been gerrymandered.
There were some, Royal, that were hoping that the Supreme Court on Friday, when they were issuing some preliminary rulings, might include this, but the Louisiana case was not included, and now we're beyond the point of no return for the elections, right?
We are. I can't imagine a scenario, because, and the reason for that, Aaron, is because we're now in a closed primary system for several races in Louisiana. Not everyone, but the federal races for sure. The U.S. Senate, U.S. House, Public Service Commission. And essentially what we're talking about is that those dates are going to be in the election for the closed primaries is going to be May 16th, which means qualifying is February 11th through 13th. And there's just no time really between now and then for the special session to meet in Baton Rouge and redraw the lines if the Supreme Court were to hand down a decision saying that this district was unconstitutional. And I'm talking about the U.S. Rep. Fields, Representative Cleo Fields' district.
Why do you suppose Governor Landry supported this?
You know, that's an interesting question. I really don't know. I don't know if it has something to do with politics. I don't know if it has something to do with...
A lot of people are asking that question.
They are. And what's so interesting about this case is, first of all, whenever there's a Louisiana case that's before the United States Supreme Court, I think, I'm speculating because guessing what a court will do is always kind of a fool's errand, but I think there's a chance the U.S. Supreme Court will use the Calais case to say that essentially we're going to do away with Section 2 of the Voting Rights Act. What we have here is a collision of two laws. One is a federal statute, one is the Constitution itself. The Section 2 of the Voting Rights Act says, under no circumstance can you dilute minority voting strength. And the other side of that is the Equal Protection Clause, which prohibits drawing congressional districts based on race. Well, those two things are colliding here. Mm-hmm. And in other words, something has to yield. Either you're going to say you never can dilute minority voting rights, or because if you're going to do that, then you're going to keep having districts like this one for Congressman Fields. On the other hand, equal protection says that you can't draw a district based on race. And when you look at that district as it's currently configured across the state of Louisiana, it's hard to imagine a justification other than race for a district that looks like that.
But then there will be those that will say, well, then a lot of states, Louisiana included, would never draw a district where an African-American could be elected.
Well, I mean, equal protection says, I mean, there's always going to be a New Orleans district. It is a predominantly black, predominantly minority district. So, but in some states, there's not even one Republican district. So everything kind of washes out in a way, Aaron. In other words, in states like Massachusetts, even though they have the population to probably support two congressional districts, there's not one Republican district in Massachusetts.
And California is trying to kill what Republican districts there are.
Right. So what I'm saying is both sides try to redistrict to their advantage. And what's interesting, the U.S. Supreme Court has said, look, those are all political questions. If your legislature has the ability to draw districts like that, fine. That's political. We're not getting involved until you make it about race. Then that offends the Equal Protection Clause and we're getting involved. I just think it was the Voting Rights Act was well-intentioned for a long time, but it puts states in such a difficult position because on the one hand, you're saying you cannot dilute. Louisiana has enough minority population to have two congressional districts. You just can't draw a district all over the state based on race to go create that second.
So how would you draw the lines to create that second district? I mean, we've seen the Zorro district before. We've seen all kind of crazy lines. How do you make that happen?
I really don't think you can. That's why the Supreme Court, I think, in this Calais case, may end up saying, look, we've been doing this, you know, affirmative action, congressional redistricting, all of that for 50 years. At some point, we have to go back to just the Constitution itself and say equal protection requires generally compact, generally contiguous congressional districts. And we're just going to do it from there. And that part of the Voting Rights Act will have to be changed or struck down, because there's no way, any other way to get it. I mean, if you say, if you don't dilute minority voting, then we're going to have two congressional districts, but they're not located. That population is not located enough, compactly enough, in one part of Louisiana. So you keep having these crazy districts across the whole state. I mean, this one, the Representative Fields district runs from outside of Baton Rouge, down side of Lafayette, down side of Alexandria, down side of Shreveport.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It's just hard to, and this is Cleo Fields 30 years ago had that Zorro district. You're exactly right, Aaron. Mm-hmm. And so he's, if things stay the way they are now, he'll have it for two more years.
And then what then?
I think they're going to strike down this part of Section 2 of the Voting Rights Act, where you can't dilute minority voting strength. You can't do it on purpose, but we also can't have these districts based on race, because the Supreme Court says that directly offends equal protection to draw districts. And that's why they tried to argue, oh, no, there's other things. There's political interests. You know, Shreveport has some things in common with Lafayette and outside of Baton Rouge, and I would argue that we are quite different from most places.
Well, yeah. They certainly think we're different when they exclude us from everything.
They do. Most of the political clout in Louisiana is in South Louisiana with the population, which is why we only have two congressional districts really north of I-10. And we're so rural, Congresswoman Letlow's district has to run from Monroe, West Monroe, clear down to basically East Feliciana Parish. And Mike Johnson, Speaker Johnson's district, has to run basically from the Arkansas border, clear down to around like Opelousas. That's how rural we are. But speaking of Mike Johnson, guys, the reason this matters is because he is presiding over, as the Speaker of the House, a razor-thin majority.
I think it's down to one vote now, isn't it?
Yeah, maybe it's three. It may be three. Mm. But still, if to lose the Cleo Fields district out of the column, that razor-thin is a big deal, which is why, you know, some people are frustrated with Governor Landry, because Mike Johnson is the Speaker, and he's barely the Speaker. And they could use this one additional Cleo Fields district if, you know, if it were drawn in a way I think is more compact and correct.
Do you anticipate any legislative action during the spring session that will discuss this? I mean, they'll be too late to change the lines for now, but will they be looking at new lines for in the future?
I don't know if they'll do it in the spring, but once the Supreme Court, because what they did was really to punt it. They could have ruled last year. We all remember that, and they decided not to. So the Supreme Court added rebriefing to figure out whether the 14th and 15th constitutional amendments were offended by the Calais district. And then they still didn't decide it. So I definitely think they're going to in their regular late spring calendar, and then I think the legislature will hop to it after that.
Does Cleo Fields have any viable contenders to run against him, or you don't see anything happening like that?
The district, it could be competitive depending on voter turnout. I just think it's certainly slanted. It's, you know, aimed to be a second minority district, which is why they had to draw it all over the state. And that's why I say the Voting Rights Act, I don't see how the two are incompatible. They clash, so something has to give. Yeah,
gotcha.
Royal Alexander, local attorney, thanks for clearing this up, if you will. Appreciate
your time.
Absolutely,
guys. I enjoyed it.
Talk to you soon. 101.7 FM, 710 Keel, Mike and McCarty.
Now more breaking news and trending talk with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Okay, I want somebody that's listening that has driven to work on I-20. I got a buddy that works in Bossier, and mm-hmm. we have lunch every Friday. Sometimes I go over to Bossier. Sometimes he comes here. And last week he goes, hey, you let's go get fish. I said, okay, great. I-20's open. No problem.
Nice.
I'll just cruise right over. Started heading that way. Oh, the lanes are closed again.
Oh, no.
It's down to one lane again.
What's
At
going
least
on?
It was on Friday on both sides, east and westbound. They had crews out. I think they were doing the striping and the official official painting of the lines and things like that.
Somebody message us, please.
So I'm wondering. Yes, is it still down again? Or is it back open? I can't imagine them having finished the striping over the weekend.
I would imagine it would take them a little while.
But I was kind of surprised. I was like, oh, are you kidding? And what a thing to be so excited about.
I know.
I was so excited to be able to head east.
Oops.
And go, yep. Oh, mate.
But quite ready.
It wasn't too bad. The funnel wasn't stacked up at the time I was going through.
Okay.
So it wasn't bad. It was just, I was like, what?
Yeah. I noticed Linwood, south of the loop, they're doing a major overhaul of Linwood. And they're taking a little bit of time there, kind of like the old Knight Street project. It's taking a minute.
Yeah.
But they're working on it. I-20's, I mean, it should be real close to being completely done.
Well, I mean, obviously, once you get the striping, they're not going to be doing any more constructing.
Mm-hmm. Have you been in touch with anybody who comes over the Jimmy Davis Bridge and they are losing their minds about the new red light?
No.
There's a new light down there.
On what side?
On the Shreveport side of the bridge, right in front of the old Hamels Park. It's a red light where you come over the bridge and you might have to stop for a red light.
Coming in and out of Hamels Park?
And getting onto the parkway. It's to let people merge up onto the Jimmy Davis Bridge. You were trying to get up on the bridge, and there's a red light there. I'm not sure the reasoning. I don't understand the reasoning behind it. I really don't.
People have been merging for 50 years.
I know.
Now all of a sudden there needs to be a red light there?
There's a red light, and I was told this weekend that it's going to be permanent, that there's going to be a permanent light there.
Really?
I don't get it. So people that are coming on the parkway can get onto 70th because they were back. It was backing up there. It was backing up when you were trying to go over the bridge. So they're going to stop everybody, let people get on the bridge.
I have never seen anything back up. Because if you're coming from the parkway and you're getting onto 70th heading west, you've got a whole lane.
Yeah.
The right lane is just for the merging traffic.
I know.
From the bridge is only on the left lane. That makes no sense to me whatsoever.
I think it may be for people, too, that want to get on the bridge to go the other way, too. I don't think the loop is open at this point. I don't know. But I know people are losing their minds about it. They're going crazy. They really are. So I don't know what the purpose of that was. Seriously, you know, but I know people are nuts about it. And they're going, what on earth am I stopping here for?
Okay.
Why am I having to stop? Since you have to drive through there and go see it.
Oh, I will not be doing that. speaking of red lights, the red light on Kings Highway, right there by El Compadre. I don't remember that name of that street.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Right there. You know what I'm talking about?
Beverly?
Is that what it is?
Maybe it's Beverly, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. If you're trying to come onto Kings Highway you're going to wait there for about 20 minutes.
Oh, man.
It does not turn. It does not turn.
You can go order some queso and be in waiting.
Get
traffic.
Out of my car and walk up there and get some chips and salsa and get back in my car and
go,
still
waiting.
Yeah. 101.7 FM, 710 Keel.
Big stories of the day with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
County Parish Commissioner Stormy Gage Watts announces her candidacy for mayor officially tomorrow. We'll talk with LSUS political science professor Dr. Jeffrey Sadow right after the break. 101.7 FM, 710keel.com.
Back with more of Mike and McCarty on 1017 FM and 710 Kiel.
What a 17 FM, 710 Kiel, Mike and McCarty. Caddo Parish Commissioner Stormy Gage Watts has an official announcement tomorrow announcing her candidacy for Shreveport Mayor on the Jack Spring Electric Newsmaker Hotline. Dr. Jeffrey Sato joining us. Dr. Sato, good morning.
Hi, guys.
Thank you so much for joining us this morning. How is this going to reshape the upcoming mayor's race?
Well, it gives the incumbent, the Republican Tom Arsenault, an opponent. He's been in the race or announced it a few months ago. I think really this is more kind of a holding pattern for the contest. Gage Watts is not what I would consider to be the most formidable candidate for the office. And really, honestly, the only way I could ever see her winning is if nobody else got in the race. That'd be your only chance, but I don't see that happening. There's going to be more entries into it.
People still talking about Sam Jenkins possibly getting in the race. Last time I spoke with him, he told me it's too soon to say. He is considering it, was what he told me.
Yeah, he'd be a much higher quality candidate. Got himself elected from larger constituencies. He's the leader of the Senate Democrats, in essence, in the state. So, I think he's proven that he'd be a much more formidable candidate, and Gage Watts would be an afterthought if a candidate of his quality were to get into the race.
Dr. Sato, do you see any other Republican candidates getting into the race?
You kind of hear words about that here and there, not a serious candidate, not a quality candidate. I would doubt that because, you look at Arsenault, of course, he's an incumbent. He's got a pretty good war chest. There might be some things that he's done that might irk some Republicans. There's really nothing, I think, that there'd be any widespread dissatisfaction that would have somebody maybe risk their elected position or at the very least have to go out and spend a bunch of money. What would probably be an uphill battle. So, no, I think as far as quality Republican candidates go, he's in the clear.
What about as John Paul Young, another Caddo Parish commissioner? He is not very happy with Mayor Arsenault. He has told me he's actually thinking about it. What kind of implication would he have on the race?
Well, certainly he'd detract from Arsenault's support. Young has taken a very, independent kind of positioning in his service on the commission. So he might be able to attract some crossover votes as well. But really, I think he'd be more of an impediment to Arsenault's reelection than he would. Then he would have the ability to defeat Arsenault and win election to the office.
Let's put you in the room with Stormy Gage Watts tomorrow when she makes her big announcement and we'll be answering questions. What are her biggest attributes? What are we going to hear from her?
I think she's going to try to tout some of the things that she's done on the commission or been a part of. Of course, she led it for a little while. So she could try to play that up. The thing about the commission, though, is that it seems in the last few years it's become more of a debating society than anything else. You take a look at the meetings, and it's become mostly passing these various vanity resolutions that one or more commissioners want. And in terms of the actual nuts and bolts, which are not very exciting, like dealing with zoning matters and the like. The budget, of course, is of some interest, but you see, much more emphasis placed upon these kind of resolutions that they're doing than really the less exciting business of the commission. So, maybe she'll play up some of these resolutions that she's been part of. Of course, that appeals they appeal to a fairly segment of the electorate. Again, I don't know that there's not a better Democratic candidate out there that could do a better job in terms of demonstrating credentials for being mayor than the kinds of things that that she's done on the commission.
Won't she take credit for the commission's great financial position? Don't you expect to hear that too?
Oh, yeah. I mean, certainly the commission is at this point not in bad financial shape. As a matter of fact, they're going out and have talked about, and maybe these some of the things that you talk about would be giving away free food and this pledge to pay for free early childhood education. And then there's the lace, the pickleball thing. So that's maybe kind of the things that that would be touted, with a body that or government that has money to spare, at least at this point. Again, though, I'm not sure that those are really things that would capture a broad constituency. And certainly, if you look at other potential candidates, I think they could do a better. They have more ammunition to be able to present themselves as mayoral possibilities.
So those are some strengths. What are some weaknesses that other candidates might point out? You mentioned the resolutions a moment ago.
And of course, the ongoing controversy about the resolutions that weren't really resolutions officially has gotten the attention of the Attorney General. Those kinds of things could be brought up by other candidates, although I don't know that other Democrats would necessarily hone in on those kinds of things. But certainly, there's been a lot of controversy about some of these things that have been decided by the commission, and that's things that opponents could play up.
What are other flaws that you see in Stormy Gage Watts?
Well, she's never really run a large scale campaign before that'd be required. Now it takes hundreds of thousands of dollars to make yourself a competitive candidate in a Shreveport mayoral race, and she's of course never come close to that or had the need to do that. She doesn't have a lot of electoral experience in that fashion, campaign experience. And, it's not impossible to win coming from that kind of position. But I just think there are going to be other candidates in this race that are coming from better positions that have demonstrated that they can win these kind of races. They can raise the money needed to win these kinds of races and be competitive. And so I think that's the first big hurdle. She's got to convince enough people that she has the ability to do that.
Would she be better suited to wait 4 years?
Yeah, I think so. It's kind of open season in Arsenault because he's seen as an aberration by Democrats. Never should have gotten there in the office in the first place, and so they considered him particularly vulnerable. It may, if this is really her ultimate ambition or some ambition down the road, she might want to step up to another office or try to, or at least state legislature, something like that. I'd say city council, but she's not yet a resident of Shreveport, is she? So I think she's got to get herself there first, I think, before she
is that accurate? She's not. She doesn't live in the city limits.
Well, that's what I've heard. Now I don't know that maybe she's moved or whatever, but there is a question about her. She's not obviously a resident. Of course, that didn't hurt Greg Tarver because he was able to claim his place of work as domicile.
Maybe I was just going to say, maybe there's a coffin she sleeps in someplace.
Yeah. Maybe so.
Dr. Sato, thank you so much for your time this morning, and we'll stay on top of it.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Thanks.
101.7 FM, 710 Keel, Mike and McCarty.
Back to the show with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
were talking a little bit earlier about the Jimmy Davis Bridge construction, and you said there's a red light now down at the foot of the Jimmy Davis Bridge.
Mm-hmm.
And we got a lot of comments on that because they said, and few of them said they don't think it's going to be permanent.
Okay, good. Good to know.
Let's see. Last time I went down, you had to go under the bridge to get to the other side, then cross over 70th again. That's why the red light was there, so you could cross over. I don't think it's going to be a permanent thing.
Okay, good.
CW says. Dennis from Elm Grove says, the light was necessary due to construction since the exit from Parkway to 70th is dirt. Now you travel under the bridge and go right to Bossier or left to 70th. He says, the light works better than first thought to keep traffic flowing. I don't think it's permanent
okay.
due to the construction of exit ramps.
Another message says, the old exit to get onto East 70th is closed. You have to go further under where the new bridge will be now from the Parkway.
Right.
So that's why the light's there. I got to go drive through there and figure it out because I'm...
Yeah, that's what they need. More traffic going through there.
More
just
traffic.
Looky-loos.
Yeah. Looky-loos, checking it out. I did get a text from Councilman Jim Taliaferro who said he's going to have traffic engineering take a look at that light for you at Kings and Beverly.
Yes!
And find out why it's taking so long to get onto Kings Highway.
Oh, you'll sit there for 20 minutes.
You can order takeout.
It is so frustrating.
Mm-hmm.
Another message, I like this. He says, look, instead of worrying about stoplights, let's talk about the idiots in Shreveport who want to run stop signs and red lights.
Oh, yeah.
It's ridiculous to see the number, I'm quoting, the number of people that are just cruising through red lights.
Mm-hmm.
I just came to a four-way stop. One car just kept going, never even slowed down.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
I don't think a lot of people understand the actual mechanics of a four-way stop.
Oh, no, they don't. They don't.
It is so frustrating.
It really is, because they're moronic about it. They have no clue.
Thank you.
They have no clue.
No clue how a four-way stop works.
Whoever's first there goes. If you get there at equal time, the one to the right goes.
Thank you.
That's as simple as that.
It's not complicated.
It's simple as that. So
that's exactly right. If you get there at the same time, the one to the right has the right of way.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well.
And
people
if a
don't
light,
understand it.
And if a traffic light isn't working, that becomes a four-way stop.
Thank you.
It doesn't mean, oh, I don't have a red light. I can keep going.
I can buzz right through it.
No.
No, it doesn't.
It becomes a four-way stop.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, I got a whole list of things.
Oh, boy.
And if you're parking on the street, okay,
and
that's
don't get me
time.
Started on driving in the left lane. Oh, boy. We could do an hour on this one.
Yeah. Oh yeah, we could do a whole driving hour.
Traffic nut jobs. Yeah, people throwing stuff out their car windows on the freeway too. Oh, you're driving me crazy.
Now you're.
Yeah.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Well, I like your hat.
Yes,
looking
thank you
good.
To thank you to my buddies at AirPro. For covering my head today, they'll be covering my head all week. If your business wants to help cover my head, give me a buzz. You can get me on Facebook or hit me up here at the radio
station.
They
already did.
Did they?
Give you a buzz.
Yeah, you're funny, Roberto. Oh, you're good.
And on that note, 101.7 FM, 710 KEEL.